life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain.
It's episode 306 of Dynamite in the Brain. I'm Brian Smith, and my partner, my John Watson to my Sherlock Holmes, it's Anthony Askew.
Hello.
That wasn't off the dome this time. We've already tried to record the introduction once on Skype, but it was breaking up.
Oh, poor Skype getting left behind. And
we are here to destroy Anthony's nascent, burgeoning Detective Conan fandom by making him watch movie number 22 from Detective Conan, Zero and the Enforcer from 2018.
It's a cruel trick to play. If you could call it a trick, I don't know, but it feels
It was
cruel.
Not a trick, because I had not seen it either. All I knew was I was like, I'd skimmed through it, and I was like, what's happening in this film does not seem to live up to the title Zero the Enforcer.
It doesn't even live up to the Conan title. That first... We'll get there.
We'll get there, yes. I'm trying to find a synopsis as we're recording this early, so the level of preparation I normally have is not up to snuff. Also, because it's not an official release, so I can't just pull one off a website or the back of a DVD box.
Shinichi would be sad.
So it involves a new resort and convention centre called Edge of the Ocean. It's going to host a world summit. All the world powers will be there. But oh no! An explosion happens at one of the buildings. initially they think it's an accident. But they eventually arrest Ran's dad, Kogoro, for being a terrorist, and apparently he's the one responsible because they found his fingerprints at the site.
Nailed
and also
on. It's gotta be him.
Files on his computer. That is what the situation is in this film. It's up to Conan to prove that Kogoro is innocent of this crime and discover who is really responsible for this explosion.
Is it an accident after all?
Exactly. that's pretty much the synopsis at the start.
Definitely. And I mean, I think for a good portion of the film as well.
It is, yes.
That's a criticism.
Okay. So, Anthony. Yes. First of all, did the long introduction introducing a vast amount of characters and explaining who they are help you?
I think so. I mean, I'm terrible with names, so naming them isn't a thing for me, because I will forget. You might as well just say, person with the blonde hair, he's this person from there, and he does this, and he's friends with them. And then I'll remember, but naming-wise, not a clue, I'll forget. But yeah, I think it was pretty good. I think considering there's 22 films through, still people are still going to be coming in afresh, obviously case in point me. I think they do a good job. It doesn't seem too bloated in that, and it's just a quick introduction, and it's done in a fun way. I want to say fun. It's not... It could have dragged it out. It could have been a boring monologue in his head, which is, as each of the men at the room, that's blah, blah, blah. I know them from such and such. But no, it's a nice, quick intro.
Yeah, it's basically, let's acknowledge that people have been dragged along to this film by their loved ones, and we need to get them on board as to who... Most of the main characters, what it doesn't do is introduce you to any of the cops.
Okay, when you say... I'd imagine there's a cop who's new for this, whose name I forget, but he gets bust up in the explosion as well. The other dude.
So, yeah, let me get the wiki out, because it helpfully has everyone's faces, so I can match the faces to the names. This is on detectiveconanworld.com.
Oh, that's another good site.
Yuya Kazami, I thought he was new, and I was suspecting him part of the way through the film. Because he is doing suspicious things, that is for sure. It's just not the suspicious things that are at the centre of the film. Except they kind of are. That's the weird thing. The weird thing is that it's kind of two mysteries in one. It's like, who did the crime, and also who's framing Kagero for the crime.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought he was an original character for the movie. He is a movie original character, but he was introduced, I believe, in a previous movie. Maybe the previous one, or maybe the last but one.
Right.
And he has...
And is he a similar character? Well, you may not know, but...
He's since appeared in the comic as well, because that's kind of what he does now, is there'll be characters who get introduced in the anime and eventually makes them canon by sticking them in a story
right.
in the comic. So if I'd known that, I wouldn't have been suspecting him.
I don't know if I suspected anyone at any point in time. I think I was thinking too deep.
Yeah, I actually think you did a pretty good job of pointing suspicion at people and then also pointing suspicion away from the person who it actually was.
Well, I think the only reason it pointed suspicion away from the person who it actually was because they weren't shown.
They were shown all the way through.
I knew it was going to wrap around. I just knew it. But there's one thing it caught me out at, which I'll get to. But go on.
No, the suspect's like established really early on as one of the characters that you're the culprit rather than the suspect.
Yeah, I agree, but I thought that was too obvious.
Oh, no, because I didn't think it was obvious at all, because he's the one guy who's trying to do his job correctly. And so I was like, well, it can't be him. He's the guy they're established. Even though he's, in theory, the guy who's trying to oppose to our heroes and our regular characters, he's the one guy who isn't being underhand when we first meet him.
You're talking about Kazami here, yeah?
No. I'm talking about the actual the culprit. I'm trying to not... Before we get into real spoiler territory.
All right, okay. There's so many characters in this. When I see this big, long...
There's four.
usual suspects lineup. There's more than four.
There's five, maybe, if you could include...
Kazami. In fact, now I know who you're referring to. Yes. And yes. All right. They do a decent job.
I was going to say, do you know who did it? You did watch the film all the way through and pay attention.
I certainly did, and I did pay attention, and I think I was paying too much attention to the bits that didn't matter, in a sense. I was overthinking everything that was shown. I knew the drone, there's an opening scene with a drone, I knew that was going to play a huge part.
Oh, yes.
As to when, I didn't know. And there's just like clues that are put in, which is, you know, that's how storytelling works. But yeah, I guess so, in retrospect. Now that I remembered who you're referring to, I can't help but think the crime itself, everything that goes on, is very large scale.
It is. And also,
I think that's what puts me off.
Yeah, I'm in agreement, plus nobody dies. But beyond that, I'm not so much bothered about the scale as you are. My problem is that it is so heavy with explaining the various legal processes and also various parts of the Tokyo's law enforcement agencies to you and how they all interrelate to each other.
It's funny you mention that, because after the whole thing is the Public Security Bureau.
Public Safety Bureau, yes.
Public Safety Bureau. While I was watching, because I don't know much about Japan and its kind of law and all that stuff, obviously. I was thinking that they were essentially, what do you call them in this country? What do you call it? It's just like a normal community cop, essentially. I didn't know they were basically Japan's FBI, or as close to being Japan's FBI.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be like closer to the special branch, I think, is how.
Yeah, Wikipedia, so I just thought they were people who deal with very mundane things, like a lady's parked up on a curb and the next door neighbor's complaining. I thought they were very low down the pecking order. So then when they kept referencing this group, I was like, why do we keep going back to these meager cops? I didn't get it until afterwards, and I read up about it, and I was like, oh, had I known that in the film, I would have had more respect, and they would have had kind of more gravity on the situation with I don't want to, with their cooperators, yeah, or as they call them.
Well, yeah, because it's essentially the crux of the film relies on the relationship between the Metropolitan Police Department, who are mainly the guys we meet every week in the show, in one form or another. And they've got most of them show up here. They don't get an introduction in the introduction, because apart from Mega Ray and Takagi, they don't get much to do, and even they only really get, like, here's some information for you, Conan.
This is Mustache Man and...
And the guy who's named after the voice actor who plays the fat kid. Who also plays that character.
Okay.
Then you've got the Public Safety Bureau, who answer to the prosecutor's office, so that is the people who are prosecuting Kogoro in the film. And then you've got the National Police Agency Security Bureau, which is our recurring character, Rei Furuya, or the name he's using is Amuro. Yeah, Toro Amuro, a.k.a. Bourbon, is his secret identity, because he's undercover in the Black Organization as well.
Which it reveals in the start, which, yes, I was totally fine with. Which, coming from a point of view of never not knowing a whole lot about that, I guess initially I thought they were trying to make you think it was him without, yes, making you think it's him.
But, well, they are, yes.
Well, they are, and I think bizarrely, had I known the history of the series, maybe I would have been less inclined to think it definitely wasn't him. I don't know. I think it's fooling me now. Even in retrospect, I'm overthinking it.
Yeah, if you're a regular viewer, you know, he, even though he's working for ostensibly the quote-unquote good guys, because he's, against, he is also suspicious, because he's also got a feud with an FBI agent who had also infiltrated the Black Organization, and you've had much longer with that FBI agent, so as a viewer, you're more inclined, the story's like much more on the FBI agent's side.
Ah, I see.
And also, as we see in this, he's up to no good.
Yeah, he is.
His mate, Kazami. And he's up to more no good than Kazami. But that is for the good of the nation, as he points out at the end. Which is
weird. What's the line they keep saying, which is something about legal?
Oh, yeah, it's basically, I can't remember what the line is, but it's basically saying that they're given permission, they're not given express permission to do illegal things, but if they get caught doing illegal thing, basically it's like, they're allowed to, but they're not told to. And so therefore, if they get caught doing it, it stops with them, and they're the guys who get charged rather than the actual bureau.
Yeah. And to reiterate, had I known how big of a deal that bureau was in the hierarchical system, I would have been much more on board earlier on than thinking these were just generic people working in an office for the public safety.
Yeah, and it helps if you know kind of the relationship, that, knowing that character. I mean, I don't know that character that well, because I've not seen that many episodes of him in. But he apparently is the reason why it was in the charts for 15 weeks non-stop in the top 10 in Japan.
What, just for him?
Yeah, he's the reason why it's done so well. Because they hinted it in the film, where the manager of the Poirot Cafe, where he works undercover, like, tells him off for making it look like that they might be in a relationship, because then people stop coming to the cafe.
I get it.
And then at the end of the film, when Conan asks, do you have a girlfriend? And he goes, well, I guess my girlfriend would be this nation. And then apparently kickstarted a Twitter trend of how to become Japan for Toro. Basically, like, women trying to figure out how they can turn themselves into Japan so they can sleep with him.
Gosh. I'm not surprised. I'm not remotely surprised.
Yeah, he's kind of like a more intellectual...
He'd be a good guy anyway, couldn't he?
Oh, yeah, I mean, he is a good guy, but obviously Conan's judging him harshly and deliberately and
rightly so.
Rightly so throughout the movie. Though, to be fair, Conan's kind of doing some of the same things, but he hasn't framed anyone.
Another problem I've got, speaking of Conan himself, I don't feel... I mean, this may be like this in the series as well, but I liked him in the first episode being the center character, the lead character. To me in this, I don't think there's any one person who's the lead. I know you'd obviously, he's a title character, but he doesn't feel like a driving force in this film. I think some of the stuff they find out, it's not him finding it out.
Yeah.
It's just the screen
That would be... where you said Porco Rosso dragged in the middle, and I thought this dragged in the middle, but then I went actually back and timed the bit, which I thought dragged, it's like only 15 minutes. But
which section is that where you're watching other people do stuff?
It's like a lot of the bit when they're all in, Eri's office, Ran's mother and, Kogoro's ex-wife.
Lady's there.
Yeah, she's there and they're getting the files on her and the secretary's showed up. Who's also like a movie original character who, microphone fell out. who's also a movie original character who eventually became canon. And yeah, it's a lot of sitting around reading files.
There's a lot of indoor stuff, just chatting.
Yes.
And which is why I think a story that's so large scale that the actual plot itself is pretty big, there's a lot of sitting around with not much urgency.
Yeah, I was really enjoying like the first 40, 50 minutes, and then it kind of, it's like the bit where Conan's putting it all together and figuring out who it is, really slowed down. It's like gathering the remaining bits of evidence. Because it's not exciting, it's not written in an exciting way of discovering clues. No. It's...
Yeah, exactly, that's, you've hit the nail on the head. It's not him... finding something that reveals something, it's him just realizing something.
Yeah, and it's like...
And that's less exciting.
And he's like having to go to people and get bits of information from other people, as you say, and rather than him actively investigating or like playing tricks on people to get them to reveal things that they wouldn't otherwise know.
I feel like on paper, without the Conan draw... I think it's such a poorly executed mystery. I really do.
Yeah, I think the writing's the problem. Because when I saw, I hadn't looked who directed it until just now, and I was like, "What? How does it look like this when it is that guy directing it? That guy I'm speaking of is Yuzuru Tachikawa, who is the director of Mob Psycho 100.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Right. You'd never put it together.
No, except maybe the absolutely insane ending.
Which is great. Which is great. But not. It's not the kind of ending I want to see in Conan.
I think in a movie it's fine. I think in a movie
maybe in a movie.
Fine.
It did need something.
It did need something. And it definitely got it. Because it's ridiculous. But it works. And there's like the CG looks good, and even when it like goes from the CG to the hand drawn stuff,
yeah,
it's pretty smooth.
There is some nice looking bits where he's like running around corners and then jumping on his skateboard and stuff. I was like, ah.
And the bit earlier in the film when the second terrorist attack happens with all the internet devices going crazy, that's got some great action in it as well. You're right. There's too much sitting around in offices and corridors. But I say I like the beginning bit where you're realizing what Amuro is doing. And we'll get into spoilers now. Let's get into spoilers.
It's hard not to. It is. It's so hard not to.
So essentially,
quite a new film. It's 2018, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, 2018. Yeah. The new one's just about to come out.
Ooh. Does it have a title yet or not?
I can't remember what it's called.
I'd imagine it's going to tie into the post-credit scene.
The Fist of the Blue Sapphire.
Tell me you watched the post-credit scene.
I did, yes. It's 2018. It was, so of course there's a post-credit scene. And I have to say, I was like, oh, yeah, I'd rather watch that one. It's been a while since I've seen a movie, and this screenwriter's been doing... most of them recently, so I don't know whether this is standard now for the movies in terms of pacing and plotting.
Maybe it is. Maybe it is.
Or whether this is just an exception. So yeah, Amuro's framed Kagero, which, because Amuro, they mention in the start that he's like, he's pretending also to be the apprentice to Kagero, so it's like, that's a total extra betrayal.
Oh, I didn't pick up on that detail, actually.
Yeah.
He's the, okay.
And then he gets, Kasami to bug Conan's phone so that he can, like, follow everything Conan's doing throughout the film.
Which you see a lot of it happening from his point of view, but you don't see when it occurs until later on. Even though it is quite obvious.
And the reason they're doing this is because in order to... They suspect it's terrorists. The police suspect it's an accident. So therefore, in order to make sure they carry on, that an investigation carries on, he has to give them a suspect.
Because don't they want it to... This is something that confused me. Does one party want it to be an accident?
Yes. So basically...
In terms of... So there's less worry and, like, loss of faith in the security and all this stuff.
I think the culprit wants it to be looked at, treated as an accident so that he doesn't get discovered.
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah. That would make sense. And yes, because I'm sure that character is pitching it earlier on, saying it must be an accident.
Yeah, and when they try to get... And when they're trying... And so various people are applying pressure to get it prosecuted quickly, i.e. Amuro and Kasami are. He's trying to, like, no, we're doing this too quickly. We've got to do the proper investigation. We've got to send our guys out to investigate. And he knows that their guys aren't good as investigators as the police, so they won't necessarily... which is his undoing in the end, is because then he puts in a thing which... Only the person who did it would put that in as the evidence.
Oh, yes, yes. Which I like that moment. That is something I do appreciate in a good mystery, which is something in plain sight that if you look into... I did like that touch.
Yeah.
It gives a little... not goosebumps, but it's that right buzz I get from a mystery when you're like, oh, shit, yeah, that's the one.
But early on, you're like, if you don't know, like me, you don't know Kazami's a semi-regular character. He's like, okay, he's bugged. He's the one who's bugged Conan. Why has he done that? Why have they set him up? Is he the one? And then, you know, he gives you the friction between him and Amuro later on, where he says, oh, Amuro killed a guy. He drove a guy to suicide. This is the bit which I need to see more of the show to understand. It's like, supposedly, like, Amuro's the guy, the one person who knows everybody's, what do they call
number?
It? Cooperators? Yeah, and their numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's how he knows things that other characters don't know in this film.
Because from what I understand, number zero is the highest ranking.
So why is he out in the field? That's the what I don't understand.
He's not zero.
Yeah,
Zero's Kuroda.
No, he's zero.
Amuro's... He's not. I don't think he is. I think Kuroda's zero because
I don't know who Kuroda
is. He's the dude with the, well, one half's a pair of sunglasses, the other half's not. It's like an eye patch, but
No, he's not part of that division at all.
Well, he calls the blonde-haired dude and they've cut off what they say.
Oh.
And I think he addresses him as zero.
That, I believe, maybe...
He's on the phone together.
That may be some other stuff. No.
See, this aspect, I was like, I want to know more about this, but not right now in this film. I'm not ready for it.
No,
right now.
That's why we should be. No. No, he's zero. No, Amuro's zero.
Definitely.
Yes, it's on his.
I'm kind of disappointed.
It's on his wiki page.
Oh
no, the guy, the cutting out of the dialogue with Kuroda is probably because he's one of the suspects for being rum in the Black Organization.
Okay, how many people are like named as drinks?
We've
got vodka, we've got bourbon, obviously now rum.
Yeah.
Okay.
His partner was Scotch, the one who's died.
Whose partner was?
Zero's. Yeah, Amuro's partner was.
Ah, right. Okay.
I think he was Scotch. I can't remember. Rye, I think, is the FBI guy's former code name.
Right.
There's Vermouth is one, another one of the recurring ones. Who's a master of disguise. I think I'm getting all these right.
I mean, there's a lot going on. There's a hell of a lot going on. But I think, credit where credit's due, the film doesn't dwell too hard on the stuff that would really leave you feeling left out if it did. So I've got to give it credit for that. I don't feel too left out not knowing about Scotch and Rye and Hops and all these, the gang, you know.
And then they need to get someone to defend Calgaro because his ex-wife can't do it because that's not allowed in these types of cases. And they can't get anybody to do it because he's too famous. But they managed to get Kyoko Tachibana, who is a freelance lawyer who's known for taking these sort of cases and also known for losing them all. And so you've got like, okay, she starts behaving suspiciously because Conan ends up bugging back Kazami, not knowing that he's being bugged by Kazami in the first place. Mm-hmm. And overhears her near Kazami talking for a long time. It's like, how do they know, those two know each other?
But it's set up nicely, and the reason that they choose her as a lawyer, because it's not just she's shit, oh, well, let's give the job. It's a case of the mother feels like she can put some influence
yes.
into the case. Which makes which is a very nice touch to make sense as to why they would allow this person who's failed every case.
Yeah, and then you're like, oh, okay, the regional prosecutor, what's her name? Why does she want to rush this through? That's suspicious as well. And so, the one guy who actually did it is the one guy who's not acting suspiciously.
We are telling this way more exciting, or in a much better way than what the writing in the story lends itself to.
Yeah.
I think it's all there. There's potential.
Yeah, I think it's fine as a mystery. I don't think it's great as a film. Because the way I felt, I was like watching a episode of Perry Mason with a few action scenes pasted in to make it into a movie.
But it's very long, isn't it? It's an hour and 51 minutes. I think that's really long.
Yeah, that's with a big old song and post-credit stuff, though.
It is, yeah. I think it's about 15, 20 minutes of credits. It's pretty big.
And the other thing he's got to wedge certain things in, like the professor giving the kids a question that you in the audience can have a go at answering as well.
Oh my god, did you try?
I did not, no.
That's the hardest bit of the film.
Well, it is for a non-Japanese speaker, yes.
For a non-Japanese speaker, yeah. But it's very clever, like even when it's explained, I didn't quite get it, but I understood it enough to think, that's pretty smart.
Yeah, I mean, the guys doing the fansubs for this have been doing Conan fansubs for ages, because when I searched for it on my hard drive, I was like, oh, blimey, I've still got loads of their other files from, like, donkeys years ago.
Oh, I feel like they've done a masterful job of putting everything across.
Yeah, because if you want to, you could, like, pause documents and read them in English now.
So what's the... I mean, I was interested in the young girl What's her name?
Yes.
But she used to work for the evil corporation, didn't she?
Yes, she was Sherry in the Black Organization.
She was one of the drinks as well.
Yeah, so she...
They do mention that very slightly, but I would like to know... Because they obviously try to kill her off in the same way that they try to kill Conan. Shinichi.
Well, no, she tried to kill herself using...
She tried to... Ah, right, okay.
Yeah, they explain that at the start.
Oh, see, maybe it was too much to take in. has his friend, sorry to jump around, but has his friend Genta got a little bald spot?
Well, the big fat guy.
Well, he's not that fat, but yeah, he's one of the fat ones. I'm sure he's got a bald spot in the film.
Yeah, I can't remember. I can't see a picture of his back of his head here. So.
See, it's these details why I'm... overthinking bits that aren't important.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely not important.
Maybe, but I don't know. It could have been something like they hid something under a patch of hair or... Yes, he's definitely got a bald spot. Just Google him. He's got like a little shaved circle.
Well, I believe like technically the entire show has only taken place within 6 months of real time.
What?
Or something like that.
What, you're talking from, like, the show?
From episode one to now, yes.
What? There's not enough hours in the day to have a case. Surely. But okay. I mean, that's... I kind of like that, because I feel like surely some of these people must have worked out that he's Shinichi.
Well, yeah, surely, yes. If he was aging in real time, yes, he would have aged all the way up to... Back to looking like himself.
You look a lot like this guy I used to know. And I was totally on board with him kind of running out the room to use his other phone and use the bow tie, because I've not seen the bow tie in action until this. So he uses the little bow tie to change his voice to Shinichi's. Now, I was on board with all that, like, sneaking around and trying to keep it hidden from her, and it's good. So I like that I now know that it's all happened in 6 months. Just makes it more understandable.
Yeah, otherwise it's intolerably cruel for him to string it out with her for that.
Oh, it is. I mean, I felt a little bit sad for her in that episode one when she says, and I don't think I'll ever see him again or something like that. I was like, oh, God, how long is this going to go on for? And that's why I asked straight away, does she ever find out that it's him?
No.
But 6 months, that's nothing. That's fine.
Yeah, I can't remember who knows at the moment. I mean, obviously...
So the professor must.
The professor knows, yes. He's like the first one. He's the first one. I knows.
Yeah.
I think it's intimated that Taro might know, or at least have some inkling that something's up with this kid.
Which character is that, sorry?
Taro Zero.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yes, because he also points out at the end, he's like, part of the reason why he chose Kogoro was to force Conan into investigating it.
Which I did like that. Another positive to draw from it. Because it felt as though they used that character to make a story. But to add that reasoning behind it, I was like, okay. That's,
yeah.
It makes a lot of sense.
And I like the bit where Conan just scares the shit out of, Kazami, where he's like, yeah, surely a kid can't have figured it out. And then he just turns around on him on that bridge. And explains exactly what he's figured out. so I like, because Conan's like a judgmental little prick at the best of times, but he feels like at least
I like him.
But he feels like he's got a reason to be judgmental. And I think that's the great thing when they introduce Ai, is he's got a character who's in the same position and is as smart as him and can cut him down when he gets too big for his boots.
Which she does at the very start. She's like in the, leaned out the window and they're having the conversation. He's chatting shit and she intervenes, but it doesn't happen again, unfortunately. Because I quite liked her.
Yeah, she's a great character.
More of her.
Yeah. But you have to, it's like 120 odd episodes in before she gets introduced. Which does mean she's been within like the majority of the show, but.
It's still a long batch to watch through.
Yes. And you got the weird thing where she's like, kind of being maternal to the other kids, even though she looks exactly the same age as them.
And I presume the professor knows that she's an adult? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember exactly who else. I'm sure it probably tells me somewhere on this page. Yeah, people who know Conan's real identity. Here we go. There's a...
Anthony Askew and Brian Smith.
Well, yes. Obviously.
Top of the list.
So, yeah, the first one is Professor Agasa.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's Ai's elder sister, but she's dead, so.
Oh.
His parents, rather.
Oh, that's good. I mean, I would hate to put my parents through something like that, so that makes sense.
Takes them like 6 volumes, apparently, before they find out of the comic.
Ah, well, I mean, that's only 2 days in Conan time.
Heiji Hattori, another
dead character?
Super detective. He's another high school detective. I Vermouth from the Black Organization.
And is that character dead, did you say?
No, she's still alive.
Ah, so is she must be a good person if she's not revealed?
I think not as bad as necessarily the other people in the organization.
Not as bad. I'm just Googling her, seeing what she looks like, get a picture in my head.
Isuke Hondo. So he's one of these characters who shows up and behaves suspiciously and turns out not to be as suspicious as he was behaving. Talking of which, Masumi Sera, she's the current person who fits that slot. She's another high school detective.
Why is there so many high school detectives?
Because it's fun.
Also, I wish I was a high school detective when I was younger.
I think part of her is she's kind of like Nancy Drew crossed with Bruce Lee.
Oh!
Because she knows Jeet Kune Do as well, yeah.
Didn't expect that.
Shuichi Akai, he's the FBI agent who was...
Which, is it? Was he in this?
No, he wasn't in this. He's the guy, though, who Amuro is feuding with.
Ah, he was cooperating with.
Yeah, I believe he's probably the... No, he's not cooperating. He hates him.
Ah.
He's the guy he blames for the death of his partner. Initially thought murder, but now he knows it wasn't murder, but he still blames him for it.
But is he alive?
Yes, he is alive. He's currently in disguise, also staying in the same, in Professor Agasa's house. I think, or is he staying in the Kudo's house? Or is he house sitting in the Kudo's house? Anyway, he lives really nearby. In disguise.
And I bet Conan knows who he is.
Yeah, yes.
At least I hope so.
I don't know whether they've told each other that they've figured out who each of them are, but I believe they've. Then we got Mary Sera, who's Masumi's mother, and she's also the mother of the aforementioned Shuichi Akai. Because it turns out Masumi's Shuichi's sister. And also Kaito Kid knows.
Yeah. Whew. I mean, not a lot of people. I mean, there's a fair chunk of people, yes. But not... I'm surprised nobody's been loose-lipped about it.
And then there's another list of non-canon characters, so which has such things as the Lupin the Third cast. They all know.
Well, they all know?
Yes. or at least the gang do. Also Hajime Kindaichi from the Kindaichi Case Files comic. He also knows, apparently. So, yeah. If you're from another show entirely, you've got a good chance of finding out. But,
So Goku probably knows, and Vegeta. If they ever do that crossover.
Apparently a dog called John also knows. In non-canon.
Well, dogs can sniff out stuff, that makes a lot of sense. See, they could do a Dragon Ball crossover. They could have, like, with Kid Trunks, and what do you call the other kids from Dragon Ball who were...
The Pilaf gang.
Yeah, they could have Conan with them.
Yes, that would be great, because they've done the same thing to themselves deliberately.
There we go. I tell you what, if this gets announced in a couple of months, you heard it here first.
I do wish someone would translate either the TV show or the movie version of Kids Police.
Kids Police. Is that something he's in?
It's a live-action thing, but it's basically what if an entire division of the police force got turned into children? And then the police tried to cover it up and then had like all these various middle-aged cops adopted by... pretend parents to hide the fact that they'd been turned into children.
There's a kid with a shotgun here over his shoulder.
That must be it.
Why has that not been subbed?
I don't know. It's very annoying.
That's just asking to have attention. I'm going to save a few of these images. They're good Twitter reactions and stuff, you know.
Yeah, the main kid is constantly reacting to things. Great.
But a lot of people know who Conan is.
Yeah, enough, dude. So it makes it interesting.
Where were we in the plot?
We were around in the middle where he was discovering exactly who did it. And then, of course, they don't tell you, the audience, who did it until they're face-to-face with the person who did it. Because he's now done a third terrorist act, which is to point a satellite, which has been mentioned continually through the film, a deep space probe called Swan, which is returning to Earth near Japan, but he's redirected it, so it's going to hit the Metropolitan Police Department.
Oh, no! But nobody's going to be in.
No. They all
didn't want to hurt anyone.
They all evacuate to the edge of the ocean. Yes, the casino there. So, what are we going to do? Well, is there anything more we can do? Attach a load of recovered... It was like explosives they got in the evidence locker, which they attached to this private citizen's drone, which is possibly built to illegal specifications in the first place, because he can fly it 30 kilometres away.
Over Heathrow. And let three kids control it.
Yeah, let three kids, because he never got a...
All new different aspects of its control and mechanic.
Yeah, they've been hogging the controller of the drone, so he never got a chance to practice himself. And luckily, because all the electricity had been taken out by the second terrorist attack things he was doing, where he was taking over internet connections, they'd come back around anyway to have another go on the drone. And they're like, great, just fly this package up to that satellite and blow it slightly off course so it doesn't hit the police department.
Ah, but they don't know they're doing that. They think it's just carrying a package,
yes.
And they think they're sending it up so they can watch the shuttle.
Oh, yeah. Also, they've got the... I can't remember if this is before or after. They have to get the code off him, so they... The reason he's doing this is because he thought that the National Security Bureau had forced a guy he was using as a cooperator.
Haba...
Fuda, is it?
Something...
Who turns out to be the ex-boyfriend of the public defender. The
yes.
Freelance defender, rather.
Who he didn't manage to get through school to become a judge.
Yes, but so... But
so he's kind of like a lawyer's assistant.
Yes, but because of how passionate he was, they'd taken a notice on him and notice of him and were using him as basically an intelligence asset.
And then it harks back to some hacker.
Yeah, which... it was one of the cases. It was also that was the case which got the other prosecutor... got promotion above him, but that's not the reason why. The reason why is because he thinks that this guy was driven to suicide. But it turns out that was Zero faking the death, and he'd fooled everybody, including Kazami. And so basically they have him standing on top of the MPD saying, just give us the code, otherwise I'm going to get hit by this as well.
Which I've got to get this out. I've been holding on to this for the entire time. I've got to say it, when they reveal he's not really on top of the building,
yep.
I thought they were revealing that he's not alive. I thought they'd somehow faked this image of him, and I was like, that is incredibly harsh. But don't panic. He's alive and he's well.
Okay, because that's what they're using the drone for first. Then they have to blow it up, I think. That's the real drone.
That's right. Because they literally just shove the phone into that bad guy's hand and say, look! Look at this, it's your pal.
Yes. and then, unfortunately, it's not going to hit the police department now, it's now going to hit the casino. Holy shit.
Bum, with everybody there.
And now they can't get out because people have brought their cars when they were told not to bring their cars.
Then it becomes Initial D for a little bit.
It does, yeah. Some crazy two-wheel driving over trains, beside trains. And then...
It's the world's slowest fallen... object.
Well, that would make sense because they've knocked it slightly off, slightly askew, so it probably has changed. It's no longer...
It's so slow. I mean, I'm fine with it because it makes it slightly more tense because you've got to have some suspension of disbelief.
And
it's such a...
I was going to say, the satellite's not the bit I need suspension of disbelief for. It's the bit where they drive a car off a building. A small child ties himself to the seatbelt, flies outside the car, launches a football from his special belt and kicks it at the satellite, knocking it slightly off course, saving everybody.
Which caught me off guard in many ways because I didn't know he had that gadget. I just thought he was rocking the bow tie, which changes his voice. I was a little surprised. Oh, as well as his scouter glasses, which can analyse stuff. But yeah, that's a good moment though. It's really exciting.
Yeah, it's really well animated as well. Mm. Even though you kind of know, well, these are two regular characters, they're not going to be dying in this scene. But It's a bit lucky that nobody got killed when those supporting metal, what would you call them? They're not, they're kind of like
the,
ropes.
The cables.
Yeah, the cables, that's the word I'm looking for, yes.
Yeah.
Got broken and whipped across.
Because that would do some damage.
It certainly would.
I would do some serious damage. I was panicking more for them cables swinging off and cutting the building in half or something. More than the space thing.
I kind of it wasn't like it conveniently missed the building entirely. No, it still hit the building, just didn't hit it in a place where it was going to completely destroy it.
Yeah. That last moment is pretty crazy. I mean, everything to do with that car. There's something earlier he does with the car, which is Conan's like skateboarding through the street and everyone's cars are stopping and kind of nearly crashing into him. And then I'm going to call him Zero. He drives a car into another car to push this other car out the way. And it's just insane. Oh, in fact, everything involving a car in this film is ridiculous.
It is, yes.
Everything.
Which is kind of possibly where you can see the director's influence, because he storyboarded the film as well.
I guess you're limited in what you can do.
Based on the script.
With the start of a cut, exactly. But then at the end, go ham.
Yeah, you can go big at the start, big at the end, and just work with what you got in the middle. It's definitely, the earlier ones I've seen, I much prefer to this. Particularly if they've got Kaito Kid in.
But I think I'm more excited to see something that's a murder mystery. Or
yes.
Something more...
Something
I feel like you can work out yourself. A lot of this requires a little bit more knowledge than the fact that you're given in front of you.
Or like when you've got the sense that he's pitting his wits against somebody.
Okay.
Because that's the adventure you have when the Kaito Kid's... Even if Kaito Kid's is never probably... I don't think he's ever, like, the guy who's doing the main crime in the thing. But he's got somebody who is an antagonist, a recurring antagonist who he can... He's kind of pitting his wits against Zero here. But...
Yeah, but not in a way that ever leaves Zero a step behind. I always feel like... They're very on par.
Because essentially they're on the same side. Their methods differ. Whereas it's definitely the ones with Kaito Kid and the Lupin films. It's like Conan's like, no, you're criminals. I want to catch you and have you arrested.
Does Conan work with Zenigata in...
In the movie, the feature film, he hangs out with Jigen a lot.
Oh.
There's a lot of Jigen in the feature film.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, that's kind of where they start dwelling on Jigen being an old man, i.e. the actor's an old man, which they did in part 5 as well.
Mm-hmm. Is he kind of like looking after him and kind of protecting him from scoundrels or...
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay. Then again, he can probably just kick a ball out of his gadget.
Exactly,
and
yeah.
Destroy someone.
But also having the detective boys involved as well kind of gives you an idea of like how the Lupin gang would seem to normal citizens as being really scary and dangerous.
Who's the detective boys?
The three little kids.
Oh, is that their gang?
Yeah.
So did they help Conan... with mysteries? Because I didn't get a whole lot. I just thought they were pals.
They do, yes. They help. Because sometimes there are episodes where they're the ones doing the investigating rather than the police.
Oh, those guys are in the very first episode, aren't they?
Yeah, they stuck them in early.
Of course, they're the kids who are... Yeah. Idiot. What an idiot.
Well, to be fair, I believe that some of the characters' designs were a lot more pointy early on than they...
Okay. I'll use that as an excuse. I would hate to be a kid for the sole reason of having to be friends with kids. Kids are annoying. Like, kids are so annoying. Imagine having to pretend your pals.
The worst part of the nightmare for Karen Ann. Yes. It is often, quite early on, that is the worst part of the nightmare for him. He's constantly rolling his eyes.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I can only deal with nieces and nephews in very small doses. So imagine, does Conan go to school? Does he have to go to school?
Yeah, that's a big part of the plot at the moment, is because the new teacher is also one of the suspects for being Rum from the Black Organization.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. it's a shame that I've been interested to watch this now. I feel I'm not too late to get on board, but I feel like it's such a big investment. Because there's so many other things I want to invest in. I want to finally read One Piece at some point or watch more of it. And then there's this pops up. It's just not fair. It's not fair. Why can't I have been a Japanese born child and just watch it was on TV? Gosh.
This handily beat out. It's very close with the Chinese release of it now and the South Korean release. It's very close to Broly. I'm not quite sure which ones.
Well, I looked on Wikipedia, but I don't know how up to date it is, but it's on 108 million.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Which is, for a film like this, it's title is huge, having Conan there, but for the film itself, it's not big budget. It can't be.
And 80 million of that was from Japan.
Jesus. Crazy.
So 15 weeks in the top 10, and then it looks like it got re-released in October, and it was there in the top 10 for another 3 weeks.
Wow, that's impressive. It's more impressive to me because of the quality of the film.
Yes, because I'm of the opinion that it's fine. It just wasn't what I was looking for necessarily from a Conan film.
There's really bad films that have huge budgets that I can understand seeing them make a hell of a lot of money more than I can this. The only thing carrying this is the Conan title.
Yeah, this was...
Which is fine. Run with it. Make money.
This was number one for 7 weeks, and it... Only in the and it would have been for 8 if Infinity War hadn't come out one of those weeks.
Jesus. That's the only film. That's literally, there's nothing else. Maybe Endgame if it was in that year, but that's insane. But admittedly though, this has not put me off Conan whatsoever. In fact, if anything, it's...
You want to see what else
more
it can
interested.
Do.
Yeah, exactly, because it's kind of... opened up the doors of possibility, because I just expected low-scale murders and mysteries, which is fine, I'm totally on board with that, but to see it go from episode one, a murder on a roller coaster, to satellites and gadgets is crazy. Crazy. Although I didn't like the film, I think I still like Conan.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not going to say I liked the film. There's elements of the film I like. It's a bit weird how, while Conan seems to be judging Zero and Kazami's behaviour, it doesn't ever feel like the film itself is. But at the same time, it also doesn't seem to be super endorsing it either, because we learn that the Defender, she's also working for the Security Bureau as one of them. But she's not happy about it herself. Because she feels Kazami feels it's like everything she does is because of him, and he feels guilty, and she's mad at him for feeling guilty. Like saying, I do get to make some of my own decisions. Not every decision I make is...
I actually forgot about that, but I did like that. The fact that she wasn't just oh, yes, finally the man I loved is back. Let's go and live happily ever after. She's like, no. So I did like that, actually.
Yeah. I think
it almost feels out of place with everything else, where it's kind of brushed under the rug. I think the thing with Toru, he's made out to be kind of this bad guy. As soon as you find out that he forced someone to suicide, as soon as you then find out that didn't happen, it's kind of oh, this guy's fine.
Guy's fine. But then to have her make that makes you oh, it's not entirely fine. It's like...
It's not.
It's like how far are you willing for people who work for law enforcement to break the law to protect you from cybercrime and the dark net? People using, was it Nor? Was that the version
Nor
of Tor?
Instead of Tor, which I think is a good premise for a story in the modern day, because with the dark web being such a thing and. The internet's a scary place.
But the problem is Lupin's done that heavily in Part 5, and he did it a lot more fun.
Oh, nice, okay.
He did a lot more fun. The Nazu is their version of NASA. Basically just trying to avoid any copyright names, but make sure you know exactly what they're talking about.
I mean, the logo's pretty much the same. You'd have to be an idiot to be like, oh, that was NASA. I didn't realise.
I think that's though.
Then
enough.
Again, I didn't. Go on, sorry.
I was going to say that's enough. I was going to wrap up. If you've got more to say, carry on.
I was just going to say, I still wish I'd known about the Public Security Bureau being a bigger deal.
Well, the problem is there's like multiple things called. So it's like Public Security Bureau, Public Safety Bureau. I was getting them mixed up earlier on this podcast. So, yeah.
Whichever they are.
Yeah, I don't know whether I get... It also feels a bit like... is it like... Is this what The Wire has given us? The, like, wanting to know the nitty-gritty of how various parts of the systems of law enforcement work?
I think this would work maybe better as a live action, because in a nice, fun cartoon, I want fun. Whereas with a live action, I kind of go on with my serious head.
Yeah.
Whereas this, I wasn't ready for some of that serious head.
I've never seen any of the live action Conan stuff they've done.
Is it a man dressed up in a boy suit?
I think they just do it as Shinichi when he was a high school detective.
Because I'd love to see a really old actor playing the boy form. Oh, yeah, it does look to just be... Oh, it's way less interesting. I like Conan's outfit. Like, I really like his weird hair as well. Like that Dennis look about it. Not like the American Dennis.
Yeah.
Never get away with Rand's hair. Is it Rand? I can never quite get away with her hair. I think that is the weirdest hair with the big triangle on it. Which is a weird thing to say, having weird hair in a cartoon, but
there is something funny just about the Conan design of like this little kid who's dressed up in shorts and a jacket and a bow tie. It's like he looks like a weird kid to begin with.
He would. I'm surprised he's got any friends at
school. He also looks like the sort of kid that he behaves like of like,
oh, absolutely,
yeah,
absolutely.
And like the switch between behaving like an absolute brat and behaving like far too smart for his own good.
Oh, I bet he's cheeky. If he was a real child that wasn't an adult in a boy's body, he would be a cheeky little shit.
Yes, because it's like every time he like pretends to be the age that his body is always like weird. Because we get it when he's like begging for Kazami not to release Kogoro, but for him to give the computer back that they've taken as evidence because it's got his favourite game on it.
That's when he slaps the
bug on him, yes.
The receiver, yeah. Because he does this like kid's voice.
Yes. And like that's the other problem.
More childlike than any of the other kids.
Yeah, that is the other problem of going straight from episode one to this, is you can tell how the voice actors have aged. It's like, I'm not sure... your man doing Shinichi's voice could still do a teenage boy's voice.
How old is he now?
Let me take a butcher's. He can still use Usopp's voice, but he's doing one of his funny voices for that. Kappa Yamaguchi is currently...
63, that's a guess.
No, he's 10 years older than me, so he will be 53.
Had the second number right. Yeah. Although I was kind of disappointed with the film, I think there's worse stuff I've hated more. I was disappointed, but it was fine.
Yeah, that I was the same opinion. Yeah, it's a little disappointing, and also I was a little bewildered as like, how did it take this much money? And then I looked online, and I was like, okay, yes, everyone's just horny for Amuro.
Which I don't really get, because he's... I don't know. I don't know what people are into.
Well, I believe the makeup of the audience now leans heavily to adult women.
Okay.
There's, like, occasional nods to, like, it's being a shonen comic. The last episodes we watched on for Let's Go, there was, like, oh, that girl's got huge boobs. Jokes.
Yeah.
But a lot of it is, like, a lot of the female characters discussing their boyfriends or their brothers.
Mm.
And, yeah, kind of more realistic dialogue along that front. Like, more... It feels like Kogoro's... He's, like, heavily at the front early on, and he seems to have got sidelined. That may also partly...
I like his character as well, you know.
Well, you like him a lot more early on, because he used to be voiced by Akira Kamiya. The Kenshiro's voice.
Oh, right, yeah, of course, we mentioned it, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember if it was contract-related or why he stopped doing it. Because there was like a bunch... He stopped doing Kenshiro because he said he couldn't do Kenshiro's voice anymore. But like kind of similar time he stopped doing... Or maybe I'm not... Maybe it wasn't a similar time at all and I'm just conflating the two. Because he's still doing voice acting.
I understand why Kenshiro's voice would be a one to retire.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's put a lot of pressure on those
vocal cords. Yeah, I think it's the attack noises that would be the difficult bit the older you got. Righty ho, now I'm going to wrap this thing up. That is Zero the Enforcer, the 22nd Detective Conan film. We will be back next week with the Famous Anime Podcast, where we'll be returning to run down through TMS anime, and which will also include Detective Conan. Goodbye.
Spoilers. Bye bye.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame: dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.